This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is the Blue White Breakdown, the premier podcast for all things Penn State football.
Talk about culture. It's something that should show up in every aspect of your program.
It's the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live. Here are your hosts, Bob Flounders and David Jones.
Penn State fans, Bob Flounders, David Jones, Thursday, April 11th. David Jones, if you're listening, you can't see it. David Jones on our video, he's got a pretty big smile on his face right about now. There might be something to that. I don't know, but Dave, it's good to see you. Here's my first question for you. So what are you doing on Saturday? Do you have any plans? You're gonna watch the Masters, maybe?
No, I think you already nailed it. I'm just gonna sit in my chair and smile.
You could go outside with Kaiser. You could do whatever you want, but I'm pretty sure you're not gonna be in state college.
The main reason I'm retiring, Bob, is that I don't ever have to cover the blue-white game again. ever.
Just so the fans know, that I think they all know by now, very soon it'll be the end of your remarkable run. But I was just trying to count up how many blue-white games you've been to, and it's close to 30, right?
It's got to be over 30. It's 30. Let me see. 90 would have been the – I don't think I did 90 because I wasn't on the beat yet. Ronnie did it, and I was still doing Pitt. So probably not 90 or 91. Yeah, you know, I weaseled out of a few of them because they fell on my birthday. I said, "Nick, it's my birthday. I just can't get free. I can't." We're going on vacation.
Let's call it 25-ish. 25.
Yeah, it's got to be high 20s. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's I can't believe you never look forward to this day. That's really
well. Maybe people don't understand. Maybe we should try to explain why. You don't like it much more than I do, do you? Or do you? I don't know.
The way that the game, quote unquote, game, it has evolved. It's really devolved. It's not really. It's really just kind of an opportunity, I think, for the fans to come up, get some nice weather, tailgate with their friends, look at some of the young players, because anyone that's really good's not playing in the game, and then hear the head coach and some players. Afterward, although I think some young Penn State fans probably don't realize that when Joe Paterno, he actually had his press conference before the game. And that's not typically done, but I thought it was an interesting thing that he did. And it was a way to kind of, if you were a columnist, if you wanted to, you could get started early on your day.
Yeah, then he'd go up in the radio booth.
Yeah.
And do the color commentary instead of George, or either that or you would contradict George. I can't remember.
Didn't he always have a little bit of truth serum in it? Maybe a couple of pops.
I don't think that early in the day. No,
George it's not did. That early in the day, man. It's like early afternoon. But he could be surprisingly candid on the radio.
George absolutely did with Fran Fischer. I don't know. It kind of reminded me of Frank Sinatra talking to Nelson Riddle. You know, you can't win. You know,
yeah.
You were supposed to come in there. What am I doing here?
Yeah. So that was I got to experience a couple of those. But now, just back to your point, Dave, and what we're trying to say is, it's really just it's a chance to get out of. To get to the stadium if you really want to. But I mean, I think as your career progressed, I mean, you didn't necessarily need to see the blue white game. You're pretty good until media day in August.
Well, it reminded me more and more of the Pro Bowl. And what did they do to the Pro Bowl? They finally just admitted the Pro Bowl was untenable and made it into a skills competition. Why don't they do that with this? I think the fans would enjoy it. They could figure out 8 or 10 or 12 competitions that wouldn't hurt the players, I think, and do it that way. Because it's not a competition, and it used to be. I mean, when I started, there was some pad cracking and guys vying for positions actually in this game because it was the last practice until July or August. And so it's just completely devolved. Devolved is the word. And it's fine for beat guys. When I was a beat guy, you would concentrate on the same stuff that you do. On who could be backup, you know, who's the seventh lineman, and that, and there is a certain sector of fans who really are into that stuff. But as a columnist, I mean, you've just got to be completely creative because it's all bullshit. It's just all bullshit. There's nothing there of any real. How many people did we have in that game who were stars that were never heard from again?
That's almost become like a legend. It's almost like, you know, you do not want to be the guy that is the guy in the blue-white game because you're never going to do anything. no matter how hard you try, it's almost always a walk-on or a third or second string.
There were a lot of Italian running backs, it seems to me, who...
Yeah, yeah.
Who Joe had an affinity for, who had
Old huge Chip days. Kelly is a name that I remember as the U. He was one. But you mentioned the devolvement of the game, and I just wanted, if you could share your memory of this experience. Bill O'Brien only was a part of a couple of springs.
Oh, I forgot about that.
When he kind of took it semi-seriously and had Zach Zwinek out there, who was Penn State's feature back. At the time, I think this would have been the 2013 spring game because Zach had a really good 2012. And I believe he broke his wrist. And Billy, because he had to go on the caravan after that. And he was pretty unhappy with the state of the blue-white game and whether or not it really should be a thing anymore. And that was, whenever you saw Bill fired up, that was a moment when Zwinak got hurt, he was not a happy guy.
No, and it hurt the 2013 season a lot.
Zach
Zwinak was he was an important part of the 2012 team that went 8-4, and they had a really nasty period there where they could not run any ball control. You remember in 2012, they just beat the bejesus out of three teams on the road. Iowa, right? Purdue and...
They actually had Nebraska in trouble too before the Matt Lehman fumble. So yeah, they were tough on the road. Purdue, yes, correct.
That was a touchdown, Bob. It wasn't a fumble. It was a touchdown.
I think you're right.
It was a touchdown. Yeah, that was ridiculous. It was outrageous. And if they get that touchdown, they probably win the game. So they were a very good road team a lot because of Zach Zwinak. I mean, he was a really, really good player for them. And
he was. He was like their fifth running back at the start of 2012. Whether it was poor performance or injury, he just by the time, you know, and by the end of September, he was the guy, and he was really, really he was an elite fullback recruit. But Bill modified it so that he was going to be, you know, he was more of a running back, but he was like a sledgehammer attacking.
Yeah, the thing about fullbacks is it's kind of a misnomer. I don't even know why it's called that. But the fullback was not fullback; he was halfback. And halfback was not halfback. He was fullback. He was all the way back.
Scat back, tailback. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of terminology.
Fullbacks never got the opportunity to get a running start like Zwinak did. And he was not Brian Milne starting from right behind the center. He got ahead of steam going, and that was no fun to tackle. It was like on Nottingham. He was like a bowling ball. Norm Boulash is more apps, really. Remember Norm Boulash?
I do. I remember him and Nottingham. Like, were they both on the Colts Super Bowl V team that beat my Cowboys? Yes.
The worst Super Bowl of all time.
Dave, so a couple of things here. So you have not necessarily decided on your blue-white-free Saturday plans, and that's...
I think it's gardening. I think we're going to put in the garden.
All right. Will Kaiser, your German Shepherd, help, or is he not a gardener?
Oh, yeah. He loves to help.
Is there going to be some digging?
Help, some not help.
Digging.
Here's the thing. If I could teach him, I mean, if I made the effort to teach him, we could strap him up to a wheelbarrow and have him cart or a big cart. And he would cart lumber. He would cart giant mounds of earth, whatever you wanted him to do. I could like, and he would, he's strong. He's strong and athletic and he would do it. But I've never spent the time to teach him anything like that. We could put him on a harness.
Well, now, I mean, that's a nice segue. You're going to have some time now, Dave. You're going to have a little time if you want to teach Kaiser. But two things I wanted to ask you one question about a current Penn State coach. But before that, we were talking on the podcast, you know, there's a party for you, and we're not going to say necessarily where, because people might show up you don't want to. Maybe not. Perry County might show up and you might get in a little trouble. But it's, we're having a party for you next week in the Harrisburg area. And there's going to be, I think from what I've heard, it's going to be a nice little get together. And you're going to have some people that you really, that are friends of yours, colleagues, former Patriot News co-workers, I believe, are all going to be there. It's going to be really special. The reason I'm bringing that up is Penn Live is in the process of deciding whether they want to do a live podcast during this thing, which is at a bar. So we were talking about it off air, and I said, you know what? It would probably be fitting, Dave, if you and I just did a video, because that's really how we got started with these social media things. And it was your idea. I think it was 2007. And there's a lot less production involved, and you can just shoot it on your phone. But they're still determined to do a podcast. I vote for a video, but could you just recall? You were kind of a spearheaded why we started doing these videos, and I mean, it's been years.
The summer of 2007, right? The first one was at the Alamo Bowl. So what was that? The Alamo Bowl was Morelli's last game. But
I think we started during the season in 07, and then we carried it over. That's the way I remember it. If it wasn't 07, it was 08. It was right around there. It's been a long time.
I went into David Newhouse, the executive editor, his office. We would have, you know, kind of annual chats, or he'd bring me in for something else. And I just brought it up. I said, no one was doing that then. No sports writers were doing post-game videos. I don't know of one, if there was. Because YouTube, you remember we were at the Metrodome, and there was a very, it was it 06 or 07? I don't know.
Oh, it was 06. The loudest. I had a throbbing headache from the
people
music.
Don't know, but because they would actually mic the crowd to double the crowd noise. Which was usually like 34,000 people, not like half.
It was an 11 a.m. kick, too, that out there. It was like, oh.
And there's another golden gopher. First down.
Penn State won that game in overtime, but that was a long. I had a throbbing head.
Weren't there back-to-backs, though? Didn't they go there in 07 also? And maybe I'm misremembering.
They went – I don't think they did. I think it was 06, and they were there in 03.
That was a mauling.
No, they were not there in 03. They were – I think they came in 03. We were definitely there in 06 because you kind of broke a story that Morelli was going to play, but he had a broken finger. I think he got a hold of his dad. You remember that?
No.
Yeah,
I don't remember anything.
You had the story before the game, and he did play, and they won it at overtime. It was definitely 06.
Well, there was a play in that game that you wanted to see the replay, and YouTube was a brand new thing. I remember being on YouTube then in 06. Remember Ronald Jenkins, the guy that did Bill Simmons' podcast music? He was a thing right then because he did all his music at home. It was a brand new thing. And I went on YouTube to see if maybe the replay, and there it was, the replay. And we're sitting in the Metrodome, and you could watch it on your screen. And there was no streaming of broadcasts back then. So this was a way to actually look at the replay. And it showed very clearly whatever the call was. And I remember using it in my game story. So I guess it was the next year. It was pretty clear that streaming was becoming a thing. Remember the first, when we first got on the internet in the mid 90s, I don't know when did you have a computer that could get on the internet?
Oh my gosh. I was so thrilled when I had a flip phone. I was like, wow, technology is amazing. This is awesome. I could text people.
Well, there was a concern there that I think it was 33 baud or something. That you would, they would never get any faster than that, you know, the connection speed. And the holy grail was like 56 baud or something. And that maybe if we got to that, then you'd be able to stream videos. But it was way off in the future. And then it happened so fast. Semiconductors, they got so small and so efficient that they all of a sudden streaming happened. And I went into David Newhouse and said, we could do this after the game. Of course, I don't even know. We weren't even putting it up on YouTube back then because we didn't have the savvy.
I wouldn't say we were very, I don't want to talk out of school here on some path. I don't know that we were quite yet forward thinking on the digital side, considering who was running it at the time. But yes, I do think that was one of the bigger advances that Penn Live Patriot News made at that time, because everything else was kind of very, we weren't necessarily posting stuff right away. We weren't digital first yet, but no one was. But yes, I just remember the video started. I want to say it was 07. I just looked up the Minnesota game was, it was 28-27 at the Thunderdome.
Look at that. Man. That's at the Alamo Dome.
That was one of the most memorable videos. Was that the Gig'em video you were doing?
Yeah. And I got that hat from some, see how it doesn't fit? And I got that hat from some guy on the sideline. You remember that?
How about that shirt, though?
How about your shirt? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the first bowl game video. That was a pregame video.
Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah. That was a pre-Alamo Bowl video in like December 28th of 06. Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
And let's give a look. I think Joe Hermich probably has shot, before we started doing podcasts, all the post-game videos. I mean, he must have done 98% of them home and away before he got some help on either. When it was on the road, it was him.
And on what? It was a digital video camera, but how did the hooking it into?
Maybe when we get, we're gonna, you know what we're going to do?
Have him on.
We're gonna have him on for the party podcast video.
Yeah.
He's very reluctant to do these things. He gets so nervous. But maybe I'm gonna take him to the bar before.
He's a behind the lens guy, not in a front.
Yeah,
he's not
really comfortable on camera, but yeah, his perspective would be good. But yeah, it's been a long time. I want to do a video for your party. I think we should do one regardless of the podcast, because it would be a fitting way, since you kind of started it, it would be a fitting way for you to end it.
I should have a handheld mic and go around and interview people like John Davidson, you know, the Bill Murray character and the lounge singer, you know. And
you know, you're joking about this, but if Burke sees this podcast, Dave, guess what, buddy? You're getting drafted. That's a great idea. What a great idea. We're going to do it.
Go up to the lovely ladies and say, what's your name? And then the microphone. And what would you like to hear right now?
I really hope Sue Seitz is going to be here. I don't know if I haven't talked to her, but you could do that to her and she would just lose it.
This is a song that means a lot to me. It's a little thing called Feelings.
You could potentially have a tremendous time at this thing, and I'm fairly certain that you will. I'm looking forward to it. I know you are. Hopefully, I'm sure. Are we going to see Anna and Nick, or one of those two, or
both of them? Both of them. Yeah.
All right. Awesome.
She's already coaching me. Anna, you want to come in and tell Bob what you told me? She said, I don't want you to drink. Okay.
You're gonna have to be in restraints to not drink.
Well, she kind of, I'm getting to the age where she kind of has to coach me through life, you know. And did you wash your hands? Did you close the screen door? That kind of stuff. So it's only a logical progression.
Well, that's going to be good. I haven't seen Anna in a while. I saw Nick at the Senators game last year when you guys came up. So that'll be good. I just think from what I've heard, I think you're going to be very, very pleased with some of the people that are planning on attending.
Is this going to be like, this is your life?
But Dave, like, I think you think I'm kidding. I am going to have some things to say. And so.
Are you going to sing? That's the question. Are you going to sing?
I'm not going to fully commit to a roast, but I'm going to take some liberties. So I hope you're ready for it. I've been thinking about it for the last 3 months. So yeah, you know my sense of humor. So it's coming, buddy.
This is your last shot. So, you know,
It is in person. So yeah,
it'll be the last shot.
But I just think that it's really cool. It's going to be a really cool idea. And I think a lot of people are looking forward to it. So we're going to do a video. Even if we do a podcast, we're going to do a video. Don't volunteer to do anything else or else Burke will probably make you do it. And we'll just leave it at that.
The videos of people, I don't know if people know, when we do them, sometimes we're just dog tired, to the point where we're loopy. When do you think we're most tired? Probably the 3:30 starts.
No, I would say the night games.
The night games? I don't know.
It's usually off deadline at about 1 o'clock in the morning, and yours is longer than mine, but we both are looking at long drives home.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? You're not going to the hotel that's 2 minutes away.
No, I mean, we don't stay over there because those days are long gone.
Yeah, it's like $20,000 for the weekend to stay over at Lucky Hand.
It's a resort weekend up there.
Yeah, that's a two-day minimum. It's $23,000. How will you be paying for that room?
Yeah. Have you ever gone by that? What do you think about that Harley Davidson Lodge? What's up with that place?
I think it's. Are you talking about the up the when you come up State College?
You're almost to State College on the right.
Yeah, I think it's actually for sale now, Dave.
What is that place?
It used to be a Harley Davidson. I think
biker vacations.
No, I think actually they sold them, but I know that it's been for sale for a while. It's kind of a cool property.
Yeah, but they got a whole lodge there with like rooms and stuff. It's. I always thought we should have been put up there and then bike to the game, given luxury 1,200cc ride into the game. But it didn't happen.
This is the Blue-White Breakdown.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Dave. Like I said, we're going to do that. We'll do that next week. But Dave, the one thing I wanted to ask you about, even though you haven't been, I would call like very actively following Penn State this spring, there's one thing I wanted to ask you about, because I just know that you really like this guy. And I think a lot of people are curious about him. I thought it was a very interesting hire. And the more I watch him and the more I hear him talk, I think he could be
Tom Allen.
Yes, and yeah. I know you've actually written about him before he got to Penn State, and I think you really admire him for what he did at Indiana, but also his entire background. You guys were simpatico when it came to like playing football on Fridays, but I just think you think he is a guy that is going to be successful. Or try to be as he's gonna bust his butt to be successful wherever he goes.
Well, you never know if it's gonna be a fit, and that's the thing about these hires. He's kind of done more with less his entire career. And when I first realized, I first learned about him, he was at South Florida before he came to Indiana to be DC, and he was a very, very well respected DC at South Florida, but he wasn't the head coach there. I only knew about him because of Stephen Bench, the former Penn State quarterback, who told me what a great guy he was. And of course, Stephen didn't play underneath him. He was a quarterback, but a guy like that who has a way with, he's very genuine. Now, people might say he sounds like some sort of high school coach or your high school.
Well, he's got a high school background, but that's not as far as he goes.
In Indiana, a lot in Indiana. But people might say he doesn't really belong in the James Franklin world of loquacious college coaches who bring that sheen and that veneer of John Calipari type guys who you know they're very slick. Tom Allen is not slick, but he talks like
that's about right dead on there.
Yeah, and you don't really have to say any words. It's just, I'm going to do the best we can. I'm going to just get better every day. And they, he's out of his mind in a good way, you know, the way that really lifer college coaches are. But he could very easily go be a coordinator if he hadn't kind of fallen into the job. Kevin Wilson got in some trouble, some hot water with browbeating and bullying players in Indiana, and he was fired kind of impromptu, and all of a sudden Tom was handy, and at Indiana that's good enough. Are you handy? Are you cheap? Do you think, have you been a head coach before? You're hired.
These players, right?
You're hired. And all of a sudden he was the head coach, but he turned out to be a pretty good coach for Indiana because he had to do without everything. It's like I've always said, it's like Penn State basketball. Indiana football is Penn State basketball. And what you really do without is a fan base that really cares about football. So he's had this background all the way back through. And all of a sudden now, which you have pointed out in your stories, he's going to have more talent than he's ever had in his life. So what does he do? It's almost like being a poor kid all your life, and then you've got toys like crazy. What do you play with first? And can he handle this? I don't know. As Mike Kern would say, I don't know. You tell me.
His players, and I know they're coached up a little bit, but they genuinely seem like it's like two common denominators when you talk to the defensive players. He knows his stuff. He knows his stuff, but also he genuinely cares about them, and he is trying to get them better, and he is trying to develop them and get them in the best possible position to succeed in his defense. And he is a guy that will make his defense kind of fit the personnel rather than force the personnel into his scheme. So you're going to see, if he likes a hybrid athlete on defense, he will create a position or get him on the field. He's going to get his best guys on the field. And that's, I think, it's one of the best compliments you can pay a coordinator or a head coach, because it's not always the case.
The other thing is he's got a tough act to follow, man. I mean, my God, that was a generational defense that we saw. It should have been in the playoff. It wasn't, because the offense fell on its face. And if the offense was just moderately successful, that would have been a playoff team, because I think they could have beaten Ohio State, really should have beaten Ohio State. That was not a great Ohio State team by any means. And they didn't. I mean, if they're 11-1, they've got a shot at being the
Big Ten East representative in the title game.
Yeah, yeah. So what I will say is it would be a great story if this guy does succeed in this situation.
I remember you writing about him because he was there for a while when Penn State played him. But when I really was like, you know what, this guy, there's more to this guy than I originally suspected. It was when he showed the stones in that 2020 COVID game to go after that win against Penn State and not play it safe. I mean, obviously they tied the game, but in overtime. In overtime to go for two in the win. It doesn't sound like a big deal, but to me, it said to him that He realized the moment he was in, he realized he was not gonna, he's not going to have a lot of shots at the Penn States of the world. He had a dynamic quarterback, and he did not play it safe. And if we've learned anything, some coaches tend to play it safe too much when they shouldn't. He went for it. He got it. And he had a transcendent season that year. I think that was a pleasant surprise for me.
He didn't get in, Bob. Penix didn't get in. Out of bounds.
First of all, your whole argument is flawed because the kid did not get in. I repeat, it was not a successful conversion.
So the rest of what you said is invalid.
Yeah, invalid. Yeah. Next.
I was impressed always with how well he played in state college. He was in games in state college with teams that had no business being in games that came down to the end. I mean, they scared Penn State in Beaver Stadium a couple times when he really didn't have much.
Including last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Tied it with a couple minutes left.
When he really didn't have much. And that shows me two things, that he can do more with less, but also that his guys never quit on him.
Right. And I think that's going to follow him for as long as he's a coach, because I think he's genuine. And I think the players see that. I really do.
I think the last year or two, it just came apart because he couldn't push the boulder up the mountain anymore. And God knows, anyone who's had that job from Cam Cameron to Jerry DiNardo you can go all the way back to Lee Corso, who will tell you how hard it is to win there. And he did as well as anyone ever has. So he seems like a really good dude. I don't know him personally, but I'm rooting for him. I hope he can make it happen.
Yeah. Also, one other thing that jumps out when you talk to him in person, and it was practice, right? It was a practice 2 weeks ago. His enthusiasm for the game of football just bursts out of him. Like, he is radiant coaching and also just talking about whatever you want to ask him. There's some coach speak in there, but the guy is glowing when he talks about football and players. And I just think that I think this could be a very, very good hire by James Franklin, just because he's going to have the talent to coach. But also, I do think he can connect with kids.
Did you like gym class when you were in high school in Easton?
Well, I was a Bethlehem Freedom. I went to Bethlehem Freedom. Bethlehem. But, yeah.
I always get that wrong.
I didn't mind it.
I loved it.
You did?
Yeah, I loved playing bombardment. That's what we called dodgeball. Yeah. We called it a bombardment. I don't know why. I loved all that stuff. But doesn't Tom Allen remind you of your favorite gym teacher?
Yeah, I bet you he loves those hip hugger shorts. I bet he's got a bunch of them in his closet that are just suffocating his lower
half. He's the kind of guy that would say, all right, ladies, line up, line up.
Yeah. I think that whistle that he always has around his neck, I don't think he ever takes it off. Like, I think he takes it to the breakfast. I think he sleeps with it. I think if he's got a dog and he needs to discipline the dog, that would be cruel. But I mean, I just think the whistle's always there with him. Don't you?
I don't know, but he just reminds me of, we had a guy named Mr. Whipple, who is like my favorite gym teacher at Upper Arlington High School.
Dave, you will appreciate this Bob Flounder's Freedom High School gym story, and you're going to laugh. So when I was at Freedom, it was either the last year or the last 2 years. My gym teacher, it was like period three or four, was the high school football coach. The high school football coach was Matt Seneca's dad, Sam Seneca.
So he was old Seneca, not young Seneca.
So yeah. So Matt Seneca's dad was my phys ed instructor, I think the last 2 years. He was great. We played softball in the spring. It was awesome. He was a good guy.
I loved playing like wiffle ball in the gym. Did you ever do that?
Yeah, we played a version of like dodgeball in the gym too. It was fun.
Yeah. I love gym class. I especially when you're sitting in class all day. Especially with guys like Pete Corey, who was the high school football coach, not even trying to teach social studies. Like, I knew more about American history than Pete Corey did. And you're just going like this, and you sixth period comes around and you've got gym class, you can get a sweat up, and it's it just got me through the day a lot of times. Yeah.
All right. So yeah, Tom Allen, I think he's a good, and I just remember how you kind of gravitated toward him before he got to Penn State because of how he was and what you thought of him. And I think that, I think it's starting to surface at Penn State. So I wanted to get your thoughts just on how you remembered, you know, what you liked most about him.
Are you charged up about Saturday?
Pretty charged up.
Where are you going to park?
Pretty charged up.
You're going to get there early so you get a parking spot?
Well,
so you have to walk?
Penn State's got mobile parking, not mobile parking, but it's electronic parking. They were supposed to have our passes by noon today. Still don't have them. But yeah, we got to get up there early or we're going to have to run our route, Dave, which I know you always enjoyed. I just like the fact that the game has to go so fast that it's got to be over in 2 hours. So it's over at 4:00. And there's actually only about the first 3 minutes are interesting. And then it's just starting to get stuff done. And
you already know what you're going to write about, right?
I do not quite yet, but I
got an idea.
That's why I was hoping James would speak beforehand. But we got to wait it out, man. We got to wait it out just like everyone else. I don't know who the next Cole Cipielli is going to be, Dave, but I'll be ready. I'll be ready. Are you even going to watch it? Will you even turn it on?
No.
Okay.
No.
When you have a bathroom break while you're weeding, just come
no.
in.
No. I'm going to have the TV on. I'm going to be gardening. Yeah. I'm going to be smiling and gardening.
Do you have, before you go, so you're going to watch any of the Masters or no?
I've sworn off golf since the LIV Tour and all those people. I'm not going to watch any more golf. They got me out of it. Nope.
All right. All right, well, so it's going to be an outdoor weekend for Dave, and then people, it's going to be in about a week from today. It's a Dave Jones party, and you're not invited. See what I did there? But we're looking forward to that, Dave. Any final thoughts before we get to next week, other than you're not going to be at the Blue White Game?
Only that I've got to get this German Shepherd some food because he's sitting on my feet. If he has to remind you like this, like he's sitting on my foot, you know?
He is. I think he's pouting. I think he's a little pouty pants right now.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, Devo. I'll check in with you then next week. Kaiser, have a nice lunch followed by an even more enjoyable walk.
This has been the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.